Joining you live from our super studios, Handkerchief Dynasty. I am your secret professor, joined by my good friend, the High Priest of Oilers Magic. Well, quite a weekend, my friend, quite a weekend. We had a very fun game seven, and then we got to watch Calgary eliminate Dallas in OT, so we know we're playing Calgary. How did you hold up over the stressful time that was the last several days?
Sorry, I think we just got like a huge peal of thunder here. First thunder of the year. It's kind of odd.
Interesting.
But it just happened. Okay, so for like game seven, I followed my own advice. Pepsi, whatnot, Doritos, shower, slippers. Held up pretty well. I was going for walks in between periods, which I highly recommend. Quick walk around the block, you know, just to like, I kind of was experiencing the sensation when I was watching the game of my blood would just kind of like, there was no circulation happening at all, right? My blood would just kind of, it was like it was pooling. It was just freezing wherever it was. Like everything was shutting down. So I went for a walk, and then kind of my regular circulatory functions resumed, really helped. And I was holding, one of my kids had left a plush rabbit on the couch. I was clinging onto that rabbit for dear life the entire game. They were always going like, "Dad, why do you have that thing?" And I would say like, "I don't know. I just can't put it away." And I was kind of like holding it like right up to my face, kind of right under my chin. And then for the last maybe 10 minutes of the game, I kind of put a blanket over myself and was kind of wearing it like as a shroud.
Solid strategy.
Yeah, and I don't know, it all paid off. But I was never really, I felt the entire game as though they needed to get two. Like I was really nervous until they got that second one. And then I felt pretty good. I felt like we're in the clear because the Oilers played an amazing game. Connor's performance really in both game six and seven, game seven especially, was iconic. That's Oilers' performance for the ages, and one that we'll all remember forever. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
It doesn't get any much better than that. And it's also so crazy. Like, the standard for legendary performances in Edmonton is so absurdly high because we've seen the best of the best. You know, we've seen like godlike performances, and that was another one. Like somehow Connor gave us a performance that equals the greatest that we've ever seen, which is remarkable, like mind-boggling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is it one of, or perhaps the greatest individual performance you've seen in a hockey game before?
No, but it's up there. It's definitely up there, but it's not the greatest I've ever seen. Like, I remember Gretzky getting like five goals to get 50 and 39 against Philadelphia when I was really small. Like, Gretzky's done some amazing stuff. I remember seeing Lemieux score whatever that game was where he scored a goal, like power play, shorthanded, even strength, and an empty netter or something like that. Like, he scored every way you could score a goal. There's been a few, but that's up there. That's definitely up there. And it was like in a game seven, like a must win. And crazy. It felt like he almost scored or set up a goal every single time he was on the ice. He's entered, like something has happened to Connor McDavid over the last two games of the LA series where he's like broken through to a new level.
Well, do you think it's like, the cleansing fires of the elimination game that we had talked about?
I think it's like, yeah, it's a combination of that. And I think it's also just like, we also talked about last episode, the how we both remembered like the footage of their faces after they were eliminated by Winnipeg. And I think those memories and like that whole experience is extremely motivating for Connor McDavid. Like he kind of refuses to go through that again. You know what I mean? And he knows, like, he has the postseason experience now and the talent and the team to sort of, by his own volition, like just not allow that to happen. It feels like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, the rest of the team were playing well, playing hard, playing physical, good checking. So it was nice
to
see.
Mike Smith was great. Played unreal. Unreal. He's not getting the credit he deserves right now for his role in beating Los Angeles, for my money.
Well, like, everyone feels bad for doubting him so hard, including us.
I mean, people doubted him more than we did, I think. I think we were pretty pissed off after game one, but I think we also recorded immediately after game one. And I think by like game two, we had sort of relaxed a little bit. You know what I mean? Recording a podcast right after a game is so tough. I much prefer like waiting a second.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
But what I'm saying is there were people still calling for Mike's or for Mikko Koskinen in like game four, game five, like, you know, like,
I know, it's crazy.
It was crazy. And Mike Smith was doing, I mean, he's the best goalie in the playoffs right now, isn't he? Statistically, I'm pretty sure he is.
Got to be up there if he's not.
Like maybe like remaining anyway, maybe like Ottinger had a better, like better numbers, but only because he was facing like 1,000 shots a game.
Totally. I'm a little disappointed. Yeah. I was hoping for Dallas just for the home ice advantage, to be honest.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, whatever, you know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. There was a real debate on Twitter over which team the Oilers would rather face. Right. And people were saying like, I don't know. I think a lot of people don't really remember what it was like in the late 90s. Like those Dallas playoff matches, like the Battle of Alberta was completely dormant for most of our adolescence. You know what I mean? Like it was completely dead. Like the Oilers and Flames would play each other and it was just like a joke. Like it was nothing. And during those years, it was Edmonton Dallas. Like that was the rivalry. Like I fucking hated the Dallas Stars. And I have really strong feelings about them to this day. Not really, I don't really hate them as much anymore, but I'm aware of them much more than is reasonable, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like I have like a feelings about the Dallas Stars that really I shouldn't have, and they're all due to those late 90s games. So I think that had the Oilers played the Dallas Stars, that was also a really great time in my life. Like those years, the Oilers won one of those series. The games are always super intense. And I think it would have been really beautiful to revisit that time. And I would have been all for it. I would have had a fucking blast. But, I mean, of course, this is like a fever dream. The Battle of Alberta, it's unreal. The last time we experienced this, we're more or less the same age. The last time we experienced this, we were 9 years old. I mean, I'm 40 with two kids. And my youngest kid is older than I was the last time there was a Battle of Alberta in the playoffs. So it's pretty amazing. And I think that the rivalry between the two teams, it's like, it's not like they're just meeting up in the playoffs, like randomly, like during some dormant years. Like this thing has you know, there's history, there's recent history. It's going to be a hell of a series. It's going to be a hell of a series. I don't know. I have concerns. Mm-hmm. Do you have any concerns about this series? Lay it on me. What do you
think? I think it'll be tight. I think it's going to be a tough series for sure. But I still like our chances. I'm still calling for the Oilers to win it, but I think it could go the distance, you know, six or seven games.
Absolutely. I think it's going to go seven games for sure. And to be honest with you, I mean, Calgary is a fucking mean team. We're nowhere close as mean as they are. Not even close.
It's true.
Like that's their bread and butter.
Yeah, I'm wondering how we react to that, because it could get pretty crazy.
Oh, well, that's what Calgary's game plan will be, right? Like, they have big, mean dudes on their team. And I don't think we really do. So it would be very interesting to see how Edmonton reacts to getting smacked in the mouth by the Calgary Flames, because that's exactly what the Calgary Flames are going to. It's what they do. That's what they've been doing all season.
Totally. I think, like, I mean, we've got guys that can counter if it gets crazy, you know, like Kane, Cassian.
Yeah. But I mean, you're going to trade, like, Evander Kane is also putting up a lot of goals and a lot of points, right? Like, I'm not necessarily okay with the idea of Evander Kane throwing hands. You know what I mean? Like, the Oilers have needed those hands for other things up to this point. He's not like Zadorov, you know? He's not like Luch.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the most goals in the playoffs right now in the entire NHL, I think. Like, he has seven goals.
Yeah. No, he's had a really great start. We got some questions from Twitter. Paul Adachi at Adachi87 asks, what were we doing in 1991? Do we have any recollection of the world during the last playoff battle of Alberta? You already said yours. I'll say no. I wasn't even aware of the world. You know, I was a decent age, but I was still in the lab. They were still doing experiments on me, getting me to take different shapes. So I really only had perception of like a few colors and a few noises. So it's definitely fresh for me.
I remember that it was extremely vicious. Like it was like, it was, I remember it being must watch television. Like I was 9 years old, right? So I remember it being must watch television for the reason of its viciousness. And I also remember Mark Messier in that series. I remember driving with my mom through our neighborhood like the morning after a game, and on the radio they were saying like Mark Messier was like a wrecking ball, like he was like just like destroying people. I remember hearing that on the radio, that he was playing like a man possessed, like just wrecking fools, like, you know, like all over the ice. And and I remember it being like just vicious. Like that's why I was aware of it. It was just because it was so malicious and violent and like just like out of control, almost like a war on the ice, you know? And it kind of set the bar for playoff hockey, like for a lot of years after that. It was like, that's what I kind of expected playoffs to be, that in that intensity. That's what I was looking for. That's what I would, the measurement, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think it's a different game now, but there'll definitely be some intensity.
Oh my gosh, dude, it's going to be crazy intense. It's going to be the most intense playoff games we've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Yeah, easily. Very easily.
And I fully expect it to go off the rails several times. Like,
I mean, it could. It'll threaten to, for rails. Sure.
No, it will, is what I'm saying.
In a good way for us, or?
I have no idea. I mean, when something goes off the rails, I don't think it's like, you can't say if it's going to be good or bad. It just goes off the fucking rails. Like, it's inconsequential of who it's benefiting at the time. I just think like there's going to be a couple times in this series when shit just fucking goes off the rails. Yeah. And then once it gets back on the rails, then I guess like it will be decided who it was good or bad for. But it's going to. Yeah. It's going to go completely off the rails. A playoff, like it's going to be. You remember what that game was like, man, when the last time the Oilers really played the Flames and it like there was something on the line. It was crazy. Like it's going to be crazy. So to get at least four of them, and when it actually means something in the postseason, when both buildings are just like bananas in the second round of the postseason, it's going to get nasty. It's going to get incredibly nasty and like personal and heated and like fucked up. Absolutely.
Got some more questions from Twitter. This is from Snowy Robert at Dr. Robert. Archie's impact on the game is the first question. We got a few questions here. I mean, I think Archie's, and he's playing on like the fucking second line right now. He's like one of the guys that clearly steps it up in the playoffs, which, you know, you got to recognize those guys and then elevate them really. So I think that's what's going on with Archie.
Well, I think Archie is going to be one of the guys that could make a huge deal. Like, we don't have a lot of guys that tattoo, right? Archie is one of the guys that when he hits you, I mean, he hits you, right? Like, he hits very, very hard. He's not just like rubbing guys out. He's exploding guys, like really making the boards move. So, I'm expecting him to have like a pretty impactful series. I think he had a pretty impactful series in the first round as well.
Absolutely.
Like, there was moments in, you know, several games where that's what the playoffs are all about, right? Like little moments that turn the tide, like, and generate some momentum, like they can generate a spark. And I think Archie provided that several times.
Absolutely. Next question, Smith's redemption arc. We kind of touched on that. I mean, really, it's a dream come true. You know, that he's turned it on and found his game at exactly the right time after an extremely forgettable regular season.
I don't know. Was his regular season that forgettable?
Well, maybe not at the end.
No, I don't think so. I think the forgettableness of his season has been highly, like, exaggerated, in my opinion. I don't know, man. He played pretty well.
I don't know, man. Like, most people were
pretty stretch.
Most people were looking at Mikko as our guy.
I know, but most people, like, the whole Mikko Koskinen thing, I don't know. If you're telling me that most people wanted Mikko Koskinen, I could counter by saying a lot of people have wanted Mikko Koskinen this whole time, and for a lot of that time, neither of us have known what the fuck they've been talking about. Like, it's like a cult of personality surrounding Mikko Koskinen.
It's like when you have that other option, people are really quick to go to it, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think Mike Smith had like a better season than people have given him credit for, especially considering he's been like pretty banged up and he's also 40 years old. Like, he has not been, he's been, I don't know. His regular season was pretty good by my money. Like, there was that rough stretch where the entire team played like trash, but and it cost Dave Tippett his job, but I'm not going to pin all of that on the play of Mike Smith.
No, certainly not. But it was tentative for a while there, you know, like a lot of people wanted him on waivers. The next question we have
is ridiculous, though. That was ridiculous.
When the teams struggle, people will kind of pile on.
Yes.
Various things. What do you think the future of Seymour Skinner is? I mean, we're seeing him as an NHL regular next year, don't you think?
Here?
Yeah. He has nothing more to prove in the minors.
So who does he replace?
Mikko, probably.
So you're saying Mikko gets like traded or bought out?
His contract's up at the end of the year.
So
it's Smith
He signs elsewhere?
Yeah. I mean, I think the chances of Mikko wanting to re-sign here are pretty low. And, you know, probably I couldn't blame him. I mean, he's been castigated for a huge chunk of time, and I bet another team would take a chance on him as a backup.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, you have to see how this team finishes before saying whether or not a guy will sign here, because I think winning makes a difference.
How about the Cassian redemption? I mean, he's not been getting a lot of minutes, but he's been effective in the minutes he's playing. I mean, he had a boatload of hits in just a handful of minutes in game seven.
Yeah, I suppose. To me, Archibald's been a much more impactful player than Zach Cassian in a similar role, I think.
Oh, well, for sure. Well, he's on the second line. I mean, Cassian's
still
bottom line.
I'm not sure the Cassian redemption arc has I think this series will be much more of a, you know, that will be where we'll see if there has been a redemption story. Because in that LA series, like, I don't know. I guess he cross-checked that guy and got a fine. To me, that was like kind of the most, I noticed him throughout the series. I suppose he threw a couple hits, sure, but like that's what he should be doing. That's, if you're not doing that, then why are you even on the team? Like, that's your role. That's why we have you. Was he doing anything beyond that? No.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think he's helped, but he could continue to elevate his game more and more.
Yeah, in this Calgary series, he could help a lot. Like, he's the guy, as far as I'm concerned, because, like I said, I don't really, you know, I don't really, and I don't think the team wants Evander Kane dropping the mitts. You know, his hands are too precious. Like, that's going to fall to Zach Cassian if when shit gets wild, and it will, because Calgary is going to play it like that, right? Because Calgary, that's what they do. It's what they did against Dallas. That's what they do. That's the team. That's what they do. It's a very physical, aggressive style of hockey. And they're going to, and the Oilers don't play that way. So if Calgary wants to dictate the game on their terms, it's going to be like that. And that the responsibility to kind of answer back is going to fall, I think, primarily to Zach Cassian, really. Like, who else is there? Nurse?
Good question.
I'd say a similar thing about Nurse, but like Nurse's, I also, you know, you don't want a guy to break his hand or something like that, man. You don't want your first pairing defenseman to wreck his hand.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, it's concerning. I mean, hopefully we can just avoid taking the bait and just beat them with our power play.
Are you kidding me?
But I think there's guaranteed to be some rough stuff.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's going to be crazy. The atmosphere, it's going to be crazy, man. It's going to be absolutely insane. It's going to be like 10 times more, 1,000 times more physical than the LA series.
How about, it's going to be off the charts. What's your view on old man Bouchard?
What's your view on him? I'll let you go first.
I mean, I thought he played really, really well in game 7. You know, that was reflected in the coaching staff having a little more faith to put him out there more. I mean, it's interesting because he has off games, but he continues to develop into a really good minute muncher. You know, I'd like to see him get more shots through, obviously, but when you look at his time on ice and you look at the results, you know, a little bit up and down, but overall, you know, I think he's really emerging, continues to emerge.
Yeah, he was serviceable. No glaring errors that I could see. No Ethan Bear-esque errors. I also would like to see him get more shots through. And like, but yeah, I'd agree with you. I mean, he's not going anywhere. Like, he's going to be in the lineup here. Obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's played okay. There's still, you know, he's not the first guy to throw on the ice, I'd say, if it's an important
shift.
An important shift in the Oilers zone. What about Cody Ceci? What do you think about Cody Ceci?
Oh man. I just love that two of our most maligned defensemen that were signed in the offseason came through with huge game-winning goals, both former Leafs. I mean, CC's great. He's very solid. That goal was amazing. And the Barry goal in game 6, you know, I didn't hear anybody complaining on Twitter about Barry that night.
No, me neither. Me neither.
What do you think about Broberg in the limited audition we've seen?
Oh, it was amazing for him to get that opportunity. And I think if the Oilers are put in a position where they need to bring a guy up, like, you know, what a great guy to have. That's how these things work. Like, that's how you know, when you're watching other franchises, like when the Oilers weren't in the playoffs and I'd watch a team go on a deep run and they'd lose the guy or something like that. And then they'd bring up like their young stud for a game or two and you'd be like, wow. Like, and then the next season, like that guy's in the lineup and you're like, I remember that guy. Like that guy can play. That's a player. Mm-hmm. And I think like that's what Broberg was like. And I think that could be, you know, fingers crossed it doesn't happen, or who knows, but Dylan Holloway, the same sort of thing. Like, I think there's no way that Dylan Holloway is not an NHL player. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be on the Oilers next year. I fully expect him to be on the Oilers starting lineup this year.
Agree.
You know, Broberg may possibly too. Like, I almost would be comfortable saying that I fully expect Broberg to be, not with as much certainty as Holloway, but like I would not be surprised at all if he's also in the starting lineup. So I think the Oilers are in a pretty good position with having two guys both up front and on the back end that if need be, they can slot in there. And not only those guys could, you know, hang, but they also have a skill set that could, you know, it could cause things to happen out there.
Totally. Totally. Which I think is the right call, you know, like I'd rather have a defenseman who is a little more offensively minded, might give up a little more defensively at times than too many defensemen that are good defensively, but you're not expecting much puck moving and whatnot from them. I was really impressed with the post game. I did want to ask you before I ask you about that though, is like, how sweet was it to see that handshake line? Like how beautiful and cathartic. One of the most crazy, beautiful things, right? I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was watching it with the kids, and I think it was like one of the first times that we've seen the other end of it, you know, when they're old enough for it to like kind of resonate. And it was just like, man, like this is so much better than what usually happens.
And no kidding.
It was amazing. And yeah, just great. And it was so nice too, seeing Todd McClellan go through the line and like give his props to our guys. Cause I really do think that like Todd McClellan kind of got railroaded out of here, you know,
a little bit.
And, I think the guys think that too. So it was nice to see Todd McClellan kind of, you know, give them some words of encouragement and like respect for whatever is about to happen with them next.
It was a special moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a special moment. The entire series against LA was, it was never really discussed during the series, but I mean, LA was where Gretzky wound up, right? Like there's history there as well. It's no small psychological feat, I don't think, beating the LA Kings, there's massive returns, massive psychological returns to the franchise for doing LA like that.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I think the two elimination games really are going to help a lot going forward. I really think that the team emerged stronger at the end of that series. And if they can continue to get better as we advance, I really like our chances against anybody pretty much.
What did you think of Connor's post game, like on the ice?
It was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. My mom was watching it and she said that my mom's very good at picking these moments up, but she said there is a moment when Connor was talking about the city that she was like, I thought he was going to break. Like there was emotion there, you know?
Yeah.
And I rewatched it and she's 100% right. Like his voice kind of hitches a little bit and he comes very fucking close. Like it means a lot to Connor McDavid that this is happening in Edmonton, and the talk of Connor wanting to get out of here. Nah. I don't know. I don't think so. I think I think Edmonton, when it's like this, I think there's no better place to play hockey. Like, the atmosphere can't be fucking matched, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's, where else would you want to play?
It's something. It's something. I was really impressed with Jay Woodcroft's post game too. I thought it was all class. He continues to just like impress me and surprise me with his kind of thoughtfulness, and that line where he said, you know, getting players to play for each other is where he gets his juice. What a beautiful statement.
Yeah.
Anything else for the children's out there, Mr. High Priest?
It's gonna be a tough series. Predictions
for Wednesday?
I mean, yeah, I really don't know. I'm gonna say Mike Smith outplays Markstrom to the tune of a 4-1 Oilers victory with an empty net goal.
I love it. We got to come out of Calgary with a split at least, but we can win the first two as well. I'm fine with that.
Daryl Sutter is as cagey as they fucking get. Like, Jay Woodcroft has learned from many masters, but he's going up against a master now. You know what I mean? Like, basically any sort of every possible situation that can happen in playoff hockey, Daryl Sutter is faced, whether as a player or a coach. Like, he's seen it fucking all, you know? And he's seemingly able to just like stonewall his way through it. So,
yeah, he's going to be an interesting coaching opponent for sure. But I feel as though the absolutely. Oilers had a better first round. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
Oettinger really kept Dallas in it. Dallas also plays the type of game that's like kind of stifling. Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, the Calgary Flames could have lost that series last night. Like, there was many opportunities. The majority of overtime, in fact, was Dallas putting the pressure on the Flames, you know? Like, if Dallas totally. Had a lot of chances to end that overtime fast. Like, they came out as though they were well aware of the fact they had no business being in overtime. But there they were.
Yeah, it's true.
And they pushed, and, like, Markstrom made some huge stops. And then the Flames came back and scored. But, yeah, I suppose. Like, I think ultimately, yeah, the Oilers probably had, aside from those two games where they didn't really show up, like, a much better showing, but they also played a much different opponent. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
We will see.
It's going to be crazy. I can't wait. I'm very excited.
I can't wait either. It's a really interesting feeling, the anticipation of round two. And I'm really happy we have an extra day. At least Leon can rest up a little bit more. That's going to be a really important story to follow.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, why don't we leave it there, brother? Thanks so much for coming on tonight, giving your thoughts. Thank you all for listening. I'll give you the last word.
I already did it.
Oh, you did it. Yeah. The last word. Well, the important thing is to hold on to your desk with both hands if you ever get nervous, and just stay positive, people. That's really important right now. It's working really well for me. I'm predicting a 3-2 Edmonton win in game one.
3-2. That was my second choice. I almost
said it. Sweet. All right. I'll catch you manana. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Okay, man. Take it easy. Sleep well.
You too. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.